This podcast is a ministry of Oriel Christian Assembly in Chicago, Illinois. For more information, please visit our website at www.orielchristianassembly.org.
Kind of go with that a little bit again, and I think you'll be blessed. What really God wants us to be focused on. And this will coincide with Wednesday night, some of the things we've been sharing about. In this video and in this book that's been printed on comeback churches, there were some things that they identified with these churches that for them to be a comeback church, what we mean by that is it was a church who was declining in attendance, or a church that had reached a certain plateau and wasn't going anymore, wasn't going any further. They were able to do some things of change that caused the church to come back really strong. Amen. And that's what we want to see here at Oriel. We want to be a comeback church. We want to get filled up here. Anybody with me today? Amen. So it's going to take for us to do some things different, maybe. We're going to have to be willing to change. One thing Wednesday night, I didn't read it from my notes, but one of the comments that was given was, you have to define your reality. And what he said also was, what year is it here? What year is it here at Oriel Christian Assembly? How many know we can't live in the past? You know, we're in 2009, we're not 1985 anymore. Amen? We have to define what is reality here today at our church and in our community and our world. So those are some of the things we talked about and we will continue to talk about. Today, my title for this message is Many Are Called. Let me say that again. Many are called. How many know that today? Many are called, but there's another part to that verse, okay? Let's look at this verse. This is going to be just a couple opening verses, and then we're going to get into a main text here today. But in Matthew 20:16, we see this verse. Matthew 20:16, it says this, so the last shall be first, and the first last. For many be called, but few chosen. In this chapter, Jesus, I don't have time to read it all because we want to go a different direction, but he talks to individuals here. It's like a story, and he talks about how this particular person went to hire people to work, okay? Some were hired early in the day, some were hired later on in the day. But by the end of the day, they all got paid the same wage, okay? And Jesus says this statement here. He says, so the last, meaning those last who were hired, the last ones who came to work, you know what? The last shall be first, and the first shall be last, okay? It doesn't matter who comes first or who comes last. The main thing is that you come. Amen? Today? That you come because God is going to bless you and reward you. But I want to focus on the second part of that verse today where he says, many are called. Okay? Many are called today, but few are chosen. Okay? I want to look at this verse and a couple other verses to go with it, and I want you to think about a couple things here today. Number one is that God is calling people today. How many know that? Amen? He is calling people every single day. He's calling people to come. Amen? Number one, for salvation. Right? He's calling, just like in this story, this particular authority, this particular boss, he was a ruler. He was calling on people to come to work. Okay? So in the same sense, we know Jesus is calling people to come every single day. But he's also calling people to come not only to get saved, but also to work in the kingdom. Amen? That was so-so. Praise God. Hopefully that'll get stronger by the end of the message here. He's calling us to come to know him, but he's also calling us to come to serve in the kingdom. Amen. Serve in the kingdom. Very important. We're going to see here this in our verses today. But you notice what he said, many are called, but only few are chosen. Few. You know, God is calling everyone to come to Jesus, but when you look at the population today and how many people come to church and how many people will tell you, I am a Christian, it's really few in comparison to our population. Okay? Few. And you say, why is it say, many be called, but few chosen? Let me turn that around a little bit. Because few choose to receive the call. I got to say that again. Many are called, right? Few are chosen. Why? Because few choose the call of God. Ooh, it got real quiet here. Amen. Not only to receive salvation, okay, but even the other part of refusing the call to what? Serve in the kingdom. Now, you know, when we talk about, well, I'm called, you know, a lot of us think, well, you mean you're called to the ministry. You're called to be a pastor. That's not really what I'm talking about. Amen. How many know today we're all called to serve in the kingdom? All of us. Amen. We're all called to do something in the kingdom, to work and be a part of God's kingdom. Amen. You may just be a prayer warrior, but you know what? That's important in the kingdom. To pray, okay? All of us can do something in the kingdom, all right? But sad to say, he says here that many are called, but few are chosen. It's not that God is choosing few. It's that few are responding to that call. Amen? My wife, she made a call just a few minutes ago. A call for what? Teachers. Amen? We need more teachers. Amen. And we do have others who really do teach. On Wednesday night, we have High Point, and we do have others who are teaching High Point. Okay? But we want more teachers also for Sunday. All right? Let me move on here. I got to get moving here. A lot of scripture I want to share with you. In Matthew 22, just flip the page over. In Matthew 22, we're going to read a couple verses here. Verses 1 to 3 in Matthew 22, it says, "And Jesus answered and spake unto them again by parables." Jesus loved to speak to the disciples by parables. And he said, "The kingdom of heaven is likened to a certain king which made a marriage for his son." And here's what I want you to listen to, verse 3. "And he sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding, and look what happened, and they would not come." Here we have a parable, another story again, like in Matthew 20, where this king was going to have a wedding for his son. How many know we've been invited to a wedding? The wedding of the Lamb of God, amen? That's what he's referring to here. This is a parable, an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. And he says here, you know what? The king, he sent forth his servants to do what? Call them who were invited to the wedding. Amen? Today, do you know you're invited to the wedding? How many like to go to weddings? Amen? Weddings are a great time. It's a time of rejoicing, of being happy, right? Of joy. But sad here, it says here, that the servants went and they called these people who were invited, but they wouldn't come. They refused to come. They refused what? The call. Here it is again. Many are called, but few choose to respond to that call. Amen. This king got angry. Okay, we're not going to go into the whole story here. But we're trying to get a point here, brought across here, that there is a divine call to come today to Jesus. Amen. A divine call. You responded to the call. Amen. That's why you're here today. Amen. Because you responded to the call of Jesus. You came. Amen. It's a divine call. Praise God. It's not Pastor Rich's call. Amen. It's not Carmela's call. It's a divine call. Amen. God is calling people to come. Amen. But unfortunately, many are not responding to that call. They are not coming to repentance. Amen. And to a righteous life. Okay? It says they refused. They didn't want to come to the wedding. Wow, that's not good. Just think in the natural. If you were going to get married and you invited 200 people to come to your wedding and nobody came, wouldn't that be terrible? Amen. Wouldn't that be, you know, disappointing to the bride and the groom? Where's all the people we invited? Amen. Just think how Jesus feels when that call is going out for people to come and people are too busy doing their own thing. You know, not responding to the call of God, the divine call, to come to know Jesus, to come to live a righteous life, and then to come and serve. Amen. It's a joy to serve God today. How many know that? Man, I have to say that. It's a joy. Amen. It's a blessing to work for God. Isn't it? Amen. It's a blessing to say, oh, what can I do for the Lord? Amen. How can I be of use here at Oriole? Praise God. You know, yesterday we were invited to a dinner. It's a pastor friend of mine in South Holland. They were celebrating him and his wife's 24th wedding anniversary. Beautiful. And a whole bunch of us were invited. It was about 14, I think 6 or 7 couples were there. And we had a tremendous time, all Christians, amen? Some pastors and just some friends and, you know, different churches there. And on the way back, a couple of them began to ask them about my wife and I. Some of them didn't know we were pastors. We got to talk to them. And one of the gentlemen says, man, I don't know how you do it to be a pastor. He says, I could never be a pastor. He said, I don't know how pastors do it. You have to put up with a lot. And you know what? How I responded to him, I said, it's not easy to be a pastor. I agree with you. But I said, I would have it no other way. Amen? I said, it's fulfilling to do what God has called me to do. Amen? Even though it may be difficult sometimes to deal with situations and deal with people. You know what I said to them? I said, you got to love people. Hello. Not just pastors, but we're all called to love one another. Amen? But you got to love people. If you don't love people, you'll never make it as a pastor. Amen? You better just quit right away. Amen? So, you know, there's a joy in it. There's a joy in doing what God has called you to do, okay? It's a blessing today, amen. Let me go to another scripture with you. Turn with me to Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4, and then we're going to get into the main part of the message here. Ephesians 4, verses 1 and 2. What are we talking about? Many are called, but few are chosen. Amen. He says here in Ephesians 4, verses 1 and 2, he says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, this is Paul, of course, he says, I beseech you that you would walk worthy of the vocation, another word for that is calling, wherewith you are called. He says, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love. And let's read verse 3 also. Enduring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Paul here is encouraging the Ephesian church, and he's saying, you know what? I beg of you, I beseech you, that you would walk worthy of the vocation or the calling that you are called with. Amen. And today I want you to know you have a Christian calling upon you. You've been called to be a Christian. Amen. How many are excited about that? You're called to be who you are today. Amen. You're called to be a disciple. You're called to be a Christian. And Paul is urging the church here. He says, make sure you walk worthy of your calling. Don't look at it as anything insignificant. It is very significant today that you walk worthy of your calling, he says. Amen. I like the Amplified Bible. It says it this way, that you walk worthy of your Christian calling with behavior that is a credit to the summons to God's service. Wow, I got to say that again. It says, walk worthy of your Christian calling with behavior that is a credit to the summons to God's service. See, we must have a walk in behavior that will glorify God, and it will show people that we're in God's service. Amen? You know, we're not just saved and all we do is go to church and that's it, but we serve God. Amen? We serve one another. Amen? We're to show people what it is to be a Christian. Amen? We have a Christian calling on our life. All of us. Amen? Very important here. And we do it in a certain way, he says here, with lowliness. You know, you do it with humility and meekness and long-suffering, and you forbear one another in love, okay? Sometimes we have to put up with one another. That's what he's saying here. Forbear with one another. Sometimes we get on our nerves, on each other's nerves, but Paul say you got to be able to deal with one another, okay? Don't throw anybody out of the church. Amen? You got to love one another. Praise God. And he says you do this with the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. Real important here. We understand this, okay? So, today, we read that many are called, okay? But few are chosen. So, what am I getting at here today? Here's an important point we need to understand. And this is brought out in a video on Wednesday. There was three things that they saw were key factors in churches coming back strong. And the second one was having a renewed attitude for servanthood. Ooh, I'm going to say that again. One of those key factors was having a renewed attitude for servanthood. Amen? Maybe some of us have kind of drifted a little bit. You know, we used to do more before, and now we don't seem to do as much as we did. So God is saying, you know what, you need to renew that. Amen? Renew your attitude. Renew your heart to be a servant in the kingdom. Amen? Nobody makes you do it, right? God doesn't force you. Pastor Rich doesn't force you to do anything. He wants you to do it out of your heart. Amen? You know, Brother Frank and Sister Giovanna, they have the Italian Bible study. I didn't tell them to do it. They came to me and said, Pastor Rich, we want to have a Bible study. Amen? We want to have an Italian Bible study. I said, go for it. Amen? That's what it's about. What can I do? How can I serve at the church to make a difference? Amen? We have to renew that. If it's gotten weak, we need to renew that. We need to realize today it's important to be a servant. Amen. Let me move into the main text here of the message. Let's go back to Matthew 20. Matthew 20, verses 25 to 34. And here Jesus teaches his disciples again. Okay? Any disciples in the house today? Does anybody want Jesus to teach you? All right, praise God. So, you know, I may be teaching you, but it's really Jesus here teaching, okay? I'm just the mediator here. I'm the go-between. I'm just sharing with you what he told his disciples. I'm going to tell you, okay? He gives them instructions. He gives them some direction on this subject today. Now look at verse 25 of Matthew 20. He says here, "But Jesus called them unto him and said, You know that the princes of the Gentiles, they exercise dominion over them, and they that are great exercise authority upon them." Now what he's saying here is, he's saying to the disciples, he's saying, you know what? In the world, in the way society is, people who have power, people who have authority, you know what? They dominate people. They control people. Okay? Anybody ever dealt with somebody like that? People who have power, you know, they run with it and they make you feel like a nobody. Okay? When you have that authority and you have that power, you know, you just boss people around. You want to just tell people what to do. Okay? That's what Jesus is saying. This is how it is with the Gentiles. Okay? How they exercise this power. But look at what the next verse says in 26. It says, "But it shall not be so among you." He's teaching them now. He says, "But whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister." Wow. He tells the disciples here, you know what? For the Christian, you're not going to be this way like they are in verse 25. The Christian doesn't operate this way. Anybody here today? He says, you know what? You're not going to be like that. You're not going to be the way the world is. How many know that today? God's way of doing things is so different than the world's way of doing things. Amen? He says, you're not going to dominate people. You're not going to control people. But on the reversal, he says here, if you want to be great, you're going to be what? A minister. The Amplified Bible, that word minister is servant. Hallelujah. Last week we talked about true greatness. Amen. We talked about how we have to be like children if we want to be great. Amen. Well, here's another portion to being great in the kingdom. He says, if you want to be great, you'll be a minister, or you'll minister to people. Ooh, it got quiet here. Amen. You'll be a servant to people. In God's eyes, when you serve, you are doing a great thing in the kingdom. Anybody getting excited here today? Anybody want to be great for God? Here's the key today. How can I serve? Amen. What can I do? Praise God. What's needed, Pastor Rich? Amen. How can I be a blessing in the church? Amen. You know, you have to sometimes pray and say, Lord, what is my gifts? Amen. What's my abilities you blessed me with? How can I use those for the kingdom? Amen. Yes, God will bless you to use them so that you can make money and you can do the things you got to do on the outside, but what about using those gifts for God? Amen. That's what he says here. He says, you know what? You're not going to act like the world. Amen. You're going to be different. Instead of being a big honcho, instead of being a big boss, and you tell everybody what to do, I want you to show people how to do it. Wow, what a difference. Amen. In the world, people just love to be the big shot. Just sit at their chair and by their desk and put their feet up, right? You know, Rosie, I want you to do this, and Kim, you go do this, and John, you do this. But Jesus said, you're not going to be like the world. You're going to be the servant. The disciples had to say, what? You changed it all around. Amen. God always changes it around. Amen. Because we're supposed to what? Serve. Amen. See, a lot of people don't want to serve. Okay? That's where we get the verse. Many are called, but few are chosen. Right? Few are hearing the cry of God to serve. Amen. To do something for God. Amen. In that video that we saw Wednesday night, a lot of things were said, and one thing that was said in the video was, instead of the church has gotten to a place of complacency, that instead of you coming and saying, what can I do for someone else, we come into church and say, what can you do for me? You know? And we need to change that. Amen. I understand when we come here, you want to be ministered to, and God will minister to you. How many know that? Amen. If your attitude is right. But don't just come and say, me, 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 me. Right? What do I need? What do I need? What do I need? What do you need? Amen. What can I do for you? Amen. We have to turn that around a little bit. We shouldn't be so self-conscious or always thinking about me, 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 is what we're saying here. And that's the church on the whole is like that today. You know, if you don't have tremendous praise and worship, people won't come. You know, if you don't have a dynamic preacher or pastor that gets you going, if the pastor's boring, forget it. People aren't going to stay. How many know we're not here to entertain anybody? Hello. You know, I want to get you going. I want you to be fired up. You know, I want to give you messages that God gives me with power and fire. I pray for that. But you don't come to really see me. Amen. You come to see God. Amen. You never come to get entertained here. If that's your thinking, then we got something wrong today. Amen. You come to give God glory. Amen. You come to praise God. Amen. You come to hear the Word of God so you can be better. Amen. You know, sometimes people come late to church and they miss the praise and worship. That's so sad. Amen. That should be the so important, the beginning of the service, that you come to worship God. Because when you come and you praise Him, God prepares you for the Word that's about to come. But some of us, sometimes we come late. It's like we're saying, so what if I miss the praise and worship? I'll just listen to the Word. Oh, God. Just think how God feels about that, okay? It's not good, you see? Our attitude, praise God. So Jesus, He gives them conditions here in the kingdom. He says, yeah, disciples, how many remember last week how they were fighting amongst each other? Who's going to be the greatest here? You know, that's the way they were. No, I am. No, you are. No, I am. You know, we don't come here with an attitude like that. You know, we want to come and we want to serve. And as we serve, God says, then you'll be great for me. Amen. If you do it with the right attitude, praise God. So whoever says, whosoever will be great among you, he's going to be the one who ministers. He's going to be the one who has a servant's heart. Amen. That's real important here. We see that. Praise God. Let's go on here. In verse 28, he says, and even in verse 27, and whosoever will be chief among you. Chief. Have you ever heard that term before? A lot of chiefs, right? Not enough Indians, though. Amen. He says, whosoever will be the chief among you, let him be your servant. There it is again. Amen. In the Amplified Bible, it says, whoever will be chief or who will be first will be the first among you. Okay? I mean, it's okay to be a chief or to be one who's in charge. There has to be people in charge. Amen? God will anoint and God will say, you know, this person to lead this and this person to lead that. That's not what I'm talking about. We need that, okay? We need leaders in the church, amen? We have a council team here of leaders, amen, that work with your pastor and my wife, amen? They do things in the church that are very important, okay? Deal with the praise and worship with the treasury team, amen, and other things, okay? We have people in positions that are to handle those responsibilities. But he says, the one who's going to be the chief, he's going to be the servant. He's not just going to tell people what to do. He's going to do it too. See, the world ain't like that. The world will just tell you what to do and they won't get involved, amen? See, we have to... We have to all do our part. See? Servants. Servant's heart. Amen. Servanthood. Servanthood. God is calling. Amen. He's not only calling for people to come to Christ, but He's calling for people to lay down what they want to do and do what God wants them to do. Amen. You know, yesterday when I was with these couples, I got to share a little bit of my testimony. And I've shared it here before, how years ago, before I got saved, I was very involved in sports. Okay? And growing up, I enjoyed different sports, but hockey was the one sport that I really fell in love with. And I enjoyed it so much that I had a goal, okay? I had aspirations to try to become a professional hockey player, all right? And nothing wrong with that, amen? Something I'd love to do. If I could make it, I could make all that money and just enjoy what I'm doing. What a life that would be, right? You think about pro athletes today, they make so much money, you know. And that's the way I was headed until God came in my life. All right? When God showed up and saved me, He changed all that. Amen? See, we have to sometimes say, you know, Lord, this is what I want to do and this is the way I'm going, but Lord, what do you want for me? Amen? What direction do you want me to go in? Amen? He changed me all the way around. I gave all that up. And the Lord said, I got a calling on your life. Amen. I'm calling you to the ministry. Now, I had a choice to make, either yes or no. I was willing. Praise God. Are we willing today? Amen. You have to be willing. So, if you want to be one in charge, you got to be an example today of being a servant. Okay? Nothing wrong in being the chief, as long as you're working with the Indians. Amen? You know, that term is all... We kid around here when we have work day because, you know, we have a lot of chiefs but not enough Indians. We have fun, you know, but we have a good group here, you know, when we get together. And your pastor, he comes too. All right? From what I've been told years ago, pastor never came to work. I don't think I've ever missed one. I don't mind working. Amen? How about you? Right? Sometimes a pastor has to be the example, right? Pastor doesn't have to work physically, but because spiritually is his job, number one. But it's nothing wrong with working also with you, right? Because it shows an example. Praise God. We got to be examples, amen? So he teaches them here of being great. Praise God. Verse 28, we need to move on here. It says, even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give His life a ransom for many. Jesus said, you know what? I was your example. Jesus said, I came not to be ministered to, but I came to minister to people. Aren't you thankful today? Amen? Jesus came for you and me. He didn't come so people would come to Him and bless Him and give Him gifts and do things for Him. He said, no, I came to minister unto you, and I even went as far as giving my life for you as a ransom. Amen. He says, there was no limit to my servanthood to you. Let me ask us today, is there a limit for us? You know, will we only go so far and say, oh, that's it, Lord. I can't go any farther. Or is it all the way today? Amen? It should be. It should be all the way. Don't put any limits to what you'll do for God. Amen? Because Jesus was our example. He showed us how He came with a humble heart to be a blessing, to show us the example of servanthood. Now, in these next verses, we're going to read this, and I want you to see, here's an example of Jesus in the flesh. Okay? Everything He talked to the disciples about here, He taught them. Now He shows them this. All right? Let's read this. Verse 29. He says, and as they departed from Jericho, a great multitude followed Him. You know, people always were following Jesus. He was just a wanted man. Amen? I pray they would follow us too that way, right? Verse 30, and behold, two blind men sitting by the wayside, when they heard that Jesus passed by, they cried out saying, have mercy on us, O Lord, thou son of David. Two blind guys. Verse 31, and the multitude rebuked them because they should hold their peace. But they cried the more saying, have mercy on us, O Lord, thou son of David. These two blind men, they needed a touch. Amen. They knew Jesus was there. They cried out to Jesus. Amen. What happens? Verse 32. And Jesus stood still. I mean, they got his attention. Amen. And he called them and he said, what will you that I should do unto you? Jesus asked them, what do you need? You know? What can I do for you? How can I help you? They said unto him, Lord, that our eyes may be opened. Wow. They needed to be healed. Amen. Verse 34. So Jesus had compassion on them and touched their eyes, and immediately their eyes received sight and they followed him. This is an awesome example for me and you today. Okay? You say, you know, many are called, but few are chosen. Why are so many called, but so few coming? Okay? Why are not many hearing? Why are not people flocking to churches? You know, why are they not hearing the cry of God to come for salvation? You know, why is this happening? And why, when people do come to church, for the most part, this is the statistics we heard Wednesday, and it's always been this way, as far as we know. In most churches, 80% of the people do nothing, basically. 20% do everything. Okay? That's 2 out of 10, if you look at it. Why is that? You know, why people are not, the hearts are not in it all the way? What's going on? Well, I want you to see here a couple things here. This is an example of Jesus ministering to people, okay? As Jesus went about, he saw these two blind men, okay? Let me ask us today, when we go from place to place, do we see people that are hurting? Jesus had an eye for people, okay? These were two blind men, and they cried out to Jesus. Now, a lot of times people are not going to cry out to us, but are you looking for people, okay? Jesus was open, praise God. He heard them calling him and saying, have mercy on us, okay? Now, interesting, look what happens here in 31. It says, the multitude rebuked them. It's the same today. You know, if you're out there and someone is in need and he may be crying out, for the most part, the multitude, the people will say, shut up. Right? I don't want to hear you. You know, what do you want? But and that's what happened here. The people, the multitude of people there were saying, don't, you know, be quiet. Jesus is coming by. Be quiet. Instead of saying, how can we help? Amen? Jesus didn't do that. The multitude was opposite of Jesus here. Do you see it? Amen. So Jesus took attention to these two blind men. And he stopped. Do we stop when somebody's in need? Okay? I had one of my workers at on the job. I was working with him this week. And he was telling me what happened to him years ago when he was on a different job. He said he was going to this light and traffic was going through. And all of a sudden this man was walking across the street. And he said out of nowhere this car came and hit this guy. And he fell. And he said, right away he said, I moved my car to the side. He said, and I went by there to help this guy. I said, that's awesome. Amen. But many people, they saw what happened, but they just drove by. But thank God for Bob. He stopped, to help this guy. He actually not only went and helped him, he parked his van, I think it was his van, in front of this guy so nobody would come near him. And he called 911. When we see stuff like that, does it cause us to do something today? Amen. I hope so. Amen. That we'll, you know, I know we're all busy, we're doing things, but sometimes we got to just stop, like Jesus. Stop and listen. Amen. Stop and look. Right? Jesus saw the two blind men, and he says, you know, what can I do for you? Do we ever want to say that to somebody? You know, do we have that concern when we see people hurting? Praise God. To say, you know, what can I do to help? Praise God. Jesus did it here. And they said to him, you know what? That I could see. Praise God. I want to see. Now, we don't heal eyes like Jesus does, but he can use us to pray for people that they would be healed. Amen. You know, if you see somebody that's blind or somebody that's hurting, you know what? It may be just for you to pray for that person. It could make a difference in their life. Amen. It could change their whole life. Maybe someone is hurting physically or someone needs a ride. If you can help them, why not? Amen. Are we looking for people that are in need? Jesus did. And look at verse 34. He says here, Jesus had compassion on them. Amen. Jesus had compassion on them. Because Jesus had compassion, he did something. Amen. Today, if we'll have compassion on people, we'll do something. Amen. Let me break it down real simple. If we care, we'll help. Amen. It's getting real quiet here. I'm talking to me too, church. Amen. If we care, we'll help. Amen. That's what Jesus did. He cared. He had compassion. So he touched them. Amen. And he prayed for them and he healed them. Praise God. We can do the same. Amen. Why is it maybe churches aren't packed out? Because you know what? We got to let people know we care. Amen. We got to show people we have compassion. Amen. We have to do things to help people, to let them know we're for real. Amen. We're not just a church that wants people to come and give us their money. Amen. That's not, we're not in the slightest that way. Okay. But some people think that's what church is about. Oh, they just want my money. You know. No, we sincerely care for you. Amen. We sincerely want to see you saved and walking with God. Amen. We sincerely care for you and want to help you. Praise God. Jesus had compassion. Amen. For who? The hurting. The lost. Amen. Those who were in need. Praise God. I ask us all today, do we today? We must. Amen. We must have, this was one of the other points on Wednesday night, the video. We must have a renewed belief in Jesus Christ. Amen. We first must have a renewed belief in the Lord. And we must have a renewed belief in the mission of the church. The mission is to reach the lost. Amen. We have to have a passion to reach lost people. Amen. If we don't have it, the church won't get full. Amen. Let's be honest today. Amen. Yes, people will come sometimes. We had some visitors come. Every so often we have people come. But you know what? We have to help people like Jesus helped people. Amen. Jesus became a friend. He helped people. You know, he just didn't just say, oh, I'll pray for you. If he could help them, he helped them. Amen. Jesus fed the 5,000. Amen. He fed 4,000. He fed 3,000. Amen. This week, Sunday, we want to feed some people. Amen. We're working on something else, on maybe feeding some others on Thanksgiving Day, right? Because we want to what? Help people. Amen. That's what we need. Praise God. Jesus not only taught the disciples here, but he also showed them what he was teaching. Amen. He said, let me show you what I'm teaching you today. Praise God. We got to flow like that today. Jesus healed the two blind men. And here's my last point. We're going to close today. Jesus saw they had a need. Okay? Jesus saw that they had a need. In this case, they needed to be healed. Their eyes needed to be healed so they could see, right? And so what does Jesus do? He ministers to the need of these two, right? And that's the example number one. But because Jesus did that, I want you to see this in verse 34, because this is so powerful. We need to get this today, big time. It says that Jesus had compassion on them. He touched their eyes, right? And immediately their eyes received sight. And listen to the last part. And they followed him. Did you catch that, church? Jesus ministered to them. He met the need. And then what happened? They followed him. If we want people to follow Jesus here, you know what? We got to try to be helpful to people. Amen. Try to meet their need as much as we can. At least try. Amen. And as we minister to people's needs, okay, I guarantee you they're going to follow. Amen. But we can't just talk the talk. We got to walk the walk. Amen. You know, we got to put feet to what we're speaking, right? Put feet to what we're talking about here. Jesus just didn't talk about it. He did it, praise God. And what happened? Those two blind men, they followed. Okay? So today, this is a powerful message. All weekend I was excited to bring this message. Because, you know, we want answers. Answers are there, right? They're right there. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out what Jesus did. Amen? His ministry was to people. You have to be a friend sometimes to people before they'll come to Christ. Amen? That people got to know you're for real. You know, people need to know you're genuine before you may even be able to say anything about Jesus. You got to be a friend sometimes. Amen? People need to know that you're for real. You're not a fake. You're genuine. Jesus was for real. He was trying to teach his disciples the same thing. Praise God. Today, many are called. The call continues to go out. And it'll continue to go out until Jesus comes back. But the key is, how many are going to choose to receive that call? Today, we don't control that. All right? You cannot make someone come to Christ. How many know that? You cannot make someone say, yes, I'll receive Jesus in my heart. But you can show them Christ. Amen. And God is depending on us to do that today. Amen. If we sincerely want to see our church get filled, we need to do this more. Amen. Show people Christ. Amen. Serve today is what we're talking about. Be a servant in whatever capacity God shows you. Come talk to me. Say, Pastor Rich, I've been praying. This is what God gave me. Is this okay with you? And if it bears witness with my spirit, I'm going to give you the go-ahead and say, run with it. Amen? If not, we'll talk about it, okay? But somehow, some way, we'll put you to work if you want to work. Amen? If you want to serve, we'll find a place for you to serve. Amen? The key is, do you want to today? Amen. Let's stand. Praise God. I hope this message has put some fire in you today. Amen. Put some fire, okay? The Word gives you fire. Hallelujah. When you come to church, you should get fired up. Amen. Not only get fired up, but you come to church fired up. Amen. All right? Don't wait on the praise and worship team to get you going. Come ready, praise God. Come with a right heart, a right attitude, and watch God work in your life. Amen. He wants to do something great here at Oriole. But it's in our hands. Okay, yeah, we may not be many here, but we got a good foundation here. If we're all doing a part, It'll happen, church, in His time. Amen. Praise God. Father, we thank You today for Your Word, Lord. Your Word gives us light. Your Word gives us direction, Lord. Your Word speaks to us, Lord. I know it's spoken to us today, Lord. Let each one be encouraged by the Word of the Lord today, by the Spirit of the Lord, Lord, that we can say to You, Lord, I want to serve. Hallelujah. God, let that be embedded in every heart that's here today, Lord, that we would have a servant's heart, Lord. We would do what You want us to do, God. We would take ourselves out of the picture and say, Lord, be Lord of my life. Guide me, direct me, lead my steps, Lord, in what You would have me to do, Father. I want to be a vessel of honor for the kingdom of God. Lord, today I ask, as the shepherd of this house, You would speak to everyone, Lord. Speak to each one, Lord, what You would have them to do, Lord. We would have a team spirit here, God, like never before. A team spirit that we would work as a team, Lord, doing the will of God in the northwest side of Chicago. Lord, that people in this community would see us working together for the cause of Christ. That we would look for opportunities to help people, to be a blessing, so that people would say, yes, I want what that person has. I want to follow. Hallelujah. God, we thank You today for Your goodness, for Your blessing on our lives, Lord. We thank You that we heard the call for salvation, Lord. Now help us to fulfill the call to serve, Lord, today. In Jesus' name we ask this. And everyone said, amen and amen. God bless you.